Shavua Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Chof Zayin. So we got up to the Halakha Mishnah, and we'll start there. So actually we're about to engage in things that are not necessarily directly Nogea Menachot, because the way that the perek is arranged is that all of the various mitzvot that consist of different parts are listed over here in the end of this perek to see which chelek is ma'akev, which other chelek. So anything that fits that particular structure is going to be mentioned over here. So we start, of course, with the inyanim of the melaches, the komets mi'uto me'akevet rumbo. So any little bit of the komets that's missing, as we saw before, the komets is not matir. An isaron, remember, if any of the isaron was missing, so then the mincha is pasul. You'd have to replace it before you can even do the komets. So the isaron itself, you need to have every last bit of it. And the yayin of the nesachim, every last drop of it is ma'akev, and if any is missing, you cannot bring the nesachim. The shemen is exactly the same. If we're talking about the shemen of the mincha, or we're talking about the shemen of the minchas nesachim, would be exactly the same thing. Has solet v'hashemen, and in a mincha that has both solet and shemen, you need to have both. And they're ma'aklim zed zen. Any of it is missing, not only is ma'akev itself, but it's ma'akev the other as well. The komets and the lavona, as we saw, are also ma'akvin zed zeh, and if you're missing one, then you also are not going to be able to be matir the mincha. And again, it doesn't mean ma'akvin zed zeh in the sense of passing one the other. It's not that one is the matir of the other, as we saw before, but you need to have both of them in order to have the mincha that would be kosher. So how do we know all of this? So remember that there are essentially a number of different ways that we know something is ma'akev. Either the Torah indicates directly that it's ma'akev by using the lashon of chukah, or chok, or it's shana alav la'akev. It will double the mention of that thing, and that teaches us that it's li'ikuva. Or one of the favorite ways that we've been seeing throughout the Masechtos here is it uses one of the existential lashonos. It says v'hayu, or tihyena, or some lashon like that, which means that it's got to be that way. We've also seen some other words that convey the same idea, like kacha, that's the way it's got to be. Or if you use an extra mapike, so then the mapike tells me it's got to be that which was hers, and so on. All right, so let's take a look and see, how do we know all of these things? Well, we know that the tiniest part of a komets is ma'akev. That we learned from melo kumtso. You've got to have the entire thing, and that actually defines it. And it repeats this two times, because it says it by the Minchas Chotei, and it says it in the beginning of the Parsha Menachos, which includes all the Minchos Nedava. How do we know that the Isarin, Miyuto, Ma'akev is Rubai, my Taima? Well, remember we dashed this before. It says in the Pasuk Misolta, with that Mapike, She'im Chasra Koshu Psula, this is defining what it is. So that extra it's is it's defined by that. So we already know that it needed Solet. Saying Misolta makes it absolutely essential. Hayayin mi'uto ma'akev et rubo, because it says, remember in Shlach, kocha ye'aseh l'shore echad, and it tells us the extent that we need the nesachim, and it uses the word kacha, and kacha is the same way. It's got to be this way. Same thing is true about the shemen. So we say the shemen, this is true both of the shemen of the mincha, and the shemen of the mincha's nesachim. So there too, it's ma'akev et rubo, because by the minchas nesachim, it said kacha. The kacha was referring both to the yayin and to the mincha. By the minchas nedava, after telling us to put on shemen, it talks about shamna with that mapike again. It's shemen, which again is the equivalent of a repetition, and imchas or koshu, it's posel. And how do we know that the Shemen and the Solet are necessary one for the other? Ah, because since that too is repeated. Where is that? Well, it says Misolta Umishamna, but it also repeats when it's talking about the Omer, which is barley, so it doesn't have Solet, but as the equivalent of Solet, Migirsa Umishamna. So that's the fine wheat is called Solet, fine barley is called Geres, and from that Geres of Mishamna, so it says, puts it together twice, you need the Solet and the Shemen together, you need the Solet in terms of Geres and the Shemen together, and that means that they're ma'akiv each other. Hakometz v'halavona also are both necessary to be matir the mincha, al kol levonata, ve'et kol levona asher ala mincha, that's a repetition of the levona, which brings us to a moment of Richie, right at the beginning of the week. What better way could there be besides Havdalah to start a week?
Wow. I got here just in time.
Yep.
It's slightly late. Zook the Halakha Mishnah.
Nice, Rich. Very nice. And so, getting back to some of the things that we also have discussed in Zvachim, the Shnei Seirim of Yom HaKippurim are Ma'akvim Ze et Ze, so this is referring to the Soyer HaLazazel and its partner, which is the Soyer that is going to be brought Bifnim. They both have to be there, and if one of them is missing, the other one is in kosher. The Shnei Kivsei Atzeret are Ma'akvim Ze et Ze. You've got to have both of those Kvasim in order to be matir the shtei halechem. Without both of them, you cannot be matir the lechem. The shtei chalot, the two lechem that are brought together with those kivsei atzeret, which is referring to the shtei halechem on Shavuos, are also ma'akvot zeh. The same thing is true of the lechem aponim on the shulchan. We have two separate sidorim, six apiece. And you've got to have both of them. And if you don't have both of them, then neither of them are kosher. And the two bezichei levona that are put on that shulchan also are necessary. And there's no way to use one to be matir, one seder, and the other one to forget about if you don't have enough. You either have both or neither. And not only that, but the siddarim, both siddarim and the bezichim need each other. So we also have got to have the two Siddarim and the two Bezichin all there on time. Getting on to the din of the Nazir, remember that we have Shnei Minim Sheben Nazir, so we have the two different types, 10 apiece of the two out of the four, really, that we're going to have in the Lechem of the Todah. So those two are Ma'akev, and you need all 20 Lechems. We know that the three things that we have in the Paraduma, as we talked about before, so you need in order to do that, you need to have how do you say it in English? Hyssop, I think they call it, right? So you need to have those three ingredients that are held together with the Shnei Tolat, and that is not going to do a thing for you if you've only got two out of the three. And the four different types of lechem that you're going to have to bring with a teda are also ma'akev zezeh, 40 lechem in total. The four different minim in the lulav and the esrog and the others are ma'akev. The four different advarim, arba shebimitzora, where over there you need to have the shnei tziporim, besides the same thing that you would have needed for the para, which of course is also the same three ingredients, plus Shnei Tziporim, and that gives us four different things, and then you have all of that is Ma'akvim Ze et Ze. Then if you have the Shiva Hazaot, if you bring a Pora Aduma, and the Torah says you have to sprinkle it seven times towards the Pesach of the Beis HaMikdash, so V'yizo Nochach Pnei Omoed Midama Sheva Pe'amim, that is ma'akev, and if you only did six times, it's not going to do you any good. The sheva hazayot that have to be done on Yom HaKippurim that are done, Bein HaBadim, they're done together between, if there's an Orein there, between the Badei HaOrein, those are all Ma'akev. And the same thing is true when you go into the Heichal and you repeat those, they're also all Ma'akev. We know that it's, you remember that all of that Avedet says Chok, and therefore it's all, everything that you do there is going to be Ma'akev. And the seven that you do on the Tiaros Shel Mizbeach is also going to be Ma'akev, even though the four that are put on the Koronis are not included here, but those that are Al Mizbeach HaZahav, those are also Ma'akva Tzurazu, and we'll take a look at the different Mekiris now. Shnei Sirei Yom HaKippurim are clearly Ma'akvim Zeh Es Zeh. How do we know that? Well, we know that from Chukah, because it says, Vaitaz Zot Lachem L'chukat Olam. That's fundamental to Yom HaKippurim. All of these things that are mentioned are going to be Ma'akev your Yom Kippur. How about the next case? Shnei Kivsei Atzeret Ma'akvim Zeh Et Zeh. Well, that's because it says, Kodesh Yihiyu LaHashem LaKohen. And since Yihiyu is one of the existential words, it always means Behavayato Tehe. There's no way to do it any other way. How do we know that the Shtei Chalot, that we also know the Shtei Chalot, it uses the word solatihiena. In other words, it's havaya, so bahavayato tehe. How do we know that the shnei sidorim are ma'akev, one or the other? Because it says, mishe Hashem chok olam, so that's chukah. How do we know the shnei vizichei levaina are ma'akev zeze? The same chok olam that it said about the avayda v'lechem aponim. How do we know Hasidorim v'habezichim? Same word. Everything that was mentioned in that parsha of Lechem Aponim is Chok Olam. So that's going to be Ma'akev because of Chukah as well. How do we know that the Shnei Minim Shebenazir, the two different Chalos that are brought together with the El Nazir, Dichtiv Kein Ya'aseh, when it adds, the Torah adds, Zot Torata Nazira Sheyidor Korbano LaHashem Kein Ya'aseh. What is it adding over there with Kein Ya'aseh? This and only this is the way that it has to be done. Shlor Shebet Pora Aduma. How do we know that? Zot Chukat HaTorah. That's like the big Chukah is the Pora Aduma. Arba'a Shebet Todah. So how do we know that the four different types of Lechem that are brought together with the Todah are all Ma'akev? We know that, interestingly enough, from the V'chein Ta'aseh that was there by the Nazir, because that is also compared to the Todah, because we don't know, the Torah never says, what are you supposed to, exactly what are the proportions of the Lachmei Nazir? And we learned the Lachmei Nazir from the Zevach Todat Shilamav, which comes to include one additional shlomim that are not mentioned here, which is the El Nazir. So it turns out that the El Nazir is only derived from the Hekesh over here to the Todah, in which case it works in the other direction as well. Because we learn out if the Nazir is V'chein Ta'aseh, it's Ma'akev, so then that tells us that the same Lechem that we learned out from the Teda is Ma'akev on the Teda. How do we know the Arba'a Shebimitzora? Because it uses the word Havaya again. Zot Tihiyeh Torata Mitzora, and Havaya means again Zot Tihiyeh Ba'avayato Tihiyeh. How do we know the Arba Shebelulav or Ma'akev? From the extra word Tem. Not lakach v'u kachtem. Lakachtem means take it as a lekicha tama. So that's like taking lakach tam. Make sure that it's complete, that it's whole, and that's defined as the act of the lekicha of the lulav and esrog. So therefore, it's got to be all four that are mentioned. Omer Chanan bar Rava, just let me make very clear. When it says you need all four, that does not mean that you need all four to be in your hand at the same time connected to each other. It's just that if you don't have all four of these minim, then you're not going to be yotze. But if you have all four of the minim, then you don't have to put them into one aguda. They don't have to be taken together. They just need all to be taken. So it's a machlokas what this means. Does it mean that you have to hold them at your, in your hand at the same time? You just don't have to tie them together like we do the three minim besides the esrog? Or does it mean you don't have to even hold them in your hand at all at the same time, as long as you take them all at that day, so then you're going to be Yotze? And the question that we have about this is a braita that seems to say that it's got to be all tied together. Because in the braita it says, Arba'a minim shebelulav. Notice that two out of those four minim, they are fruitful. The esrog and the lulav, they have delicious fruit, you know. But shnayim mehem enosim peirot. Mashenkin, the adasim, the arova don't have peirot for humans. So, and therefore, what's the Torah teaching us? That those things that make peirot have to realize their relationship and their dependency to those that are not necessarily osin peirot. So there's zikukin l'shein peirot. And the ones that are enosin peirot are zikukin to the ones that are osin peirot. And you're not going to be yotze your chova unless they're all tied together. Aguda achas. So then that means that there is dafka hakpada on aguda, and we'll bring a posik even. V'chein Yisrael b'haratza'ah, the same idea is true. When Klal Yisrael is coming and they're making a fast and they're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Geshem or for whatever it is that they're fasting, they need to all be together, the bums and the big tzaddikim and the phonies, and they all need to be together. The ones that are oisin peiros and not oisin peiros, ach yukulam baguda achas, they need to be tied together in order to be answered. Shenemar habone bashamayim ma'alotav ve'agudato aleretz yisada. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to have his aguda on the earth in order for it to work. Now, an aguda means to be tied. And therefore, what Rav Chanan bar Rava said doesn't seem to be correct. He said, it's okay as long as you've got it, but you don't need to actually tie it together. Well, you're right. But you remember that this is a machlokas tanoim, because the Tanya lulav ben agud ben sheino, agud is kosher according to the Tanakama, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, only agud is kosher. Sheino agud is possible. So Rav Chanan bar Rava was going like the Tanakama, which is fine. As far as the brayta that we just brought, agudato al eretz sada, that was going aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And what's this for of Rabbi Yehuda? He learns out kicha kicha from agudat ezov. So remember, during the Aveda of Korban Pesach, so it said beferish, lakachtem agudat ezov. So that word lakicha meant an aguda. It has to be a bundle of ezov. So afkan, since it uses the word lakachtem, so then it's telling me that you need the same din of the aguda and by the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, that you need to have the same thing in your dinim of lulav. The Rabbanan, they do not have a Kabbalah of that Kavucho, of that Gezira Shavah. Ein Adam Don Gezira Shavah Me'atzmo. Now, of course, Kicha Kicha is one heck of a Gezira Shavah that we know from other places, and therefore it should be included. So, I mean, everybody had that one. So how come we're not using that Gezira Shavah all of a sudden here? So Tosfos says that it could be that here there's an afkamina between Likoach and Kicha. So, okay, maybe it's only Kicha Kicha. We didn't learn the Gezerah Shavah for the other one. Kemanas Lahadatanya. Now, we saw that there was a machlokas about whether you need an aguda for the lulav and its meaning, but this following braita doesn't seem to go according to anybody, because it says in this braita there's a mitzvah to do the aguda, but it's a ma'akev, and in lo agado, it's still kosher. So this doesn't go according to anybody, because Rabbi Yehuda said it's possible. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you didn't do the agad, why is it suddenly kosher according to this braita? And if it's going according to the Rabbanan, if they don't darshan the drasha of kicha at all, so then there's no lekachtem lechem be'aguda, so why does it say mitzvah la'agado? Where would that mitzvah come from? Answers the Gemara, the truth is it's going aliba de Rabbanan, and when it says a mitzvah, it doesn't mean the mitzvah of lulav. It means the overall din of hidur mitzvah, which is zeh keli ve'anveyu. Zeh keli ve'anveyu means that everything should be as beautiful as possible. And a lulav that is put together with its extra minim all tied and made beautiful is part of Zekeh Levi Anveil. So, okay, so that means that there's basically, even if you hold that it's not Ma'akev, there's certainly a mitzvah that it should be a good. Getting back to the Mishnah. So we said there were seven Hazaot, like it says in the Pasuk, and those seven Hazaot, since it says Zot Chukata Torah, that we have by the Pora Aduma, they are Ma'akvot Zo et Zo, and the Sheva Hazaot Shal Bein Abadim, Vishal Mizbeach HaZahav, Vishal HaParochet, are also Ma'akvot Zo et Zo. How do we know that? Well, I mean, we know that all of the Dinim of Yom HaKippurim, it says Chuka. That's the Chokulam. And what about the ones that are not on Yom Kippur? What about Pakoi Moshiach that we had, or Par Helam Davashot Tzibur, or the Seirei Avodas Kechavim that also have to be done on the Parochet and the Mizbeach Azov? How do we know that they are Ma'akev? Kiritanya, remember we had this back in Zvachim, when we were Derech so beautifully. The Pasuk of the Asal, La Par, Kasher, Asal, Le Par, and there was no need at all for us to repeat the Dinim in the both Parshias of Par, Koin Moshiach, and in the Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibor. And the only reason that the Torah repeated it, because why do I need to know to do the same thing? It said beferish what to do. So why bother saying, and this is the same thing that you did for the Parolim, for the Parkoin Mashiach? So Matamud Lomar. Ah, because this way you have two separate psukim that are telling you to do the same thing. And therefore it's Ma'akev because of the fact that you repeated it. And it teaches us that Im Chisarachat Menabanat Matanot, Lo Asa Klum. So this is telling us that Shana Alava Katuv La'akev, and you remember, we're sort of being Makatzer over here, but you remember back in Zvachim, we had also the extra diukim from the end of the Pasuk that it was referring to, the Lapar, and we talked about Zepar Yom HaKippurim, and then we learned it out to this Sawyer of Averis Kechavim as well. So it's not bringing the whole drasha that took us a whole daf over there in Zvachim, but it was a beautiful analysis of that pasuk. Now, in the bright, it adds another issue. So we've been talking about doing it and whether doing it is ma'akev, whether all of the seven hazayas are ma'akev in the Parah Aduma, but the Braita adds something else, that if you did it shelo lishma, so sheva hazaot shebe parah, that you did shelo lishma, so you didn't have in mind that you're going to be doing this for the purpose of the Para Aduma, you had something else in mind. And they were done also, perhaps, Shalom Mechuvanot. Maybe you didn't sprinkle the dam the way the Pasuk says. It says in the Pasuk, V'lakach el azar ma'koin midama be'etzpa'o, v'hiza el nochach p'nei olamoid midama sheva pamim. And therefore, suppose you didn't aim it correctly. Suppose you didn't aim the dam, lenochach pnei olamoid. If either of those things happened, either with shelo lishma or lo mechuvan, it's possible. V'shebifnim, but what about any hazayot that are done inside of the heichal, or the hazayot that are done outside of the heichal, but they have to be sprinkled towards the Heichal, Shebi Mitzorah. So over there also, remember we have to do the Sheva Pamim towards the Pesach Oyel Mayhein. Those, if they're done Shelo Lishma, indeed are Pasul. But if they're not Mechuvanot, they're kosher. Because L'maisa, it doesn't use the same Lashon of El Nochach Pnei Ohamoid over there. And therefore, it's true it has to go in that direction, but it doesn't have to go nochach directly kineged the Pesach Ohomoi. And therefore, it wasn't mechuvan directly. It would be kosher, but it would be pasul shelo lishma. So again, we'll see what the shelo lishma problem is. The pashtas of the shelo lishma, of course, is because as we know, the Parah Aduma is called chatati. So since it's called chatati, just like a chatat is psula shelo lishma, so to the Parah Aduma is psula shelo lishma, despite the fact that it doesn't have a din of a kedusha other than the din of something that was brought to Berek HaBayit, because it doesn't have kedusha taguv. Nonetheless, it's keneged the chatas. The Torah said give it the same dinim. So if the chatas is psula shelo lishma, so is the paras chatas, which is the parah aduma shelo lishma, posel. And we'll see how we know that the mechuvanot is because of the lashon. We saw that we know it says zot chukata Torah. So now the question about the mitzorah, there we're not talking about a chatas. There we're talking about an asham. So that would have to be going according to the shita that we had back in Zvachim. Or Rabbi Eliezer is makish asham to chatas. So just like chatas shelo lishma is psula, so to an asham shelo lishma is posel. And in that case, it would also only be possible for the shelo lishma, but not because of the direction, since it doesn't say lenochach. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. There's a braita that talks about the parah aduma, and it says only shelo lishma is psulot, but shelo mechuvanot is okay. So what happened to El Nochach? I don't understand. Shalom Chumunato Ksherot. It says Zot Chukata Torah. Omer Rav Chista, I'll explain it to you. There is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonan about how we define that kind of terminology. Not Pinogea Paraduma, but it's the same idea. Let me show you what I mean. Titania. I want to suggest to Rav Chista that the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan, in a completely different sugya, is going to explain to you why it is that we have different dinim here in the two brises. Titania. Mechusrei kapora shenichnesu la'azara. So let's just think for a moment of what we have, the levels of Tumah v'Taira that we have, and the Isra of Knisa b'Tumah. So if you have somebody that was Tameh, he went to the mikveh, but he still is mechuser kapora. So let's say we're talking about a mitzera. He has to wait until the shmini shelo. We're talking about a zov or yoledet or any of the cases zova that you would need to have a special kapora on the eighth day after your count. So you're called a mechuser kapora until you bring that karma, and that is even less of a tuma than after the sun sets, we're over there. Up until that point, he was a tful yom. Now he's only a mechuser kippurim. So there's a darg of being tameh that didn't go at all to the mikveh, and then there's a darg of going to the mikveh and being a tful yom, and then there's a darg of being a mechuser kapara. And where are the various isurim? Well, there's the isur of entering. We're not talking about now people that are only usur in one of the Shalosh Machanos. We're talking about complete Tumah. So if you're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash Gufa, so we have an Isser Knisa into the Azorah, if you are Tameh, and that is an Isser, even if you went to the Mikveh and you're at full Yom, and even if it's after sunset, but you haven't yet brought your Kaporas, your Mechuser Kippurim, it's considered to be that you are still one of those Tameim, that is usher li'ikanes to the Azora. Then, of course, we have a much more chomer isser, which is the knisa into the heichal itself and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is even worse. We're over there. Only the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is allowed to come in. So over there, we also have an isser of misa. And if you did the knisa even into the Azora, as a mechuser kapara shenichnesu la'azora, so since there's a chi of kores, there's also a chi of chatas. Ish asher yitma v'lo yitchata v'nichrata nefesh ayim mitoch ha'kahal, says beferish, kes mikdash Hashem timei. So the lo yitchata, it says beferish, mei nidal lo zorak alav. So it means even if everything else was done, he would still be chayiv kores. If that's the truth, then b'shogeg is also chayiv chatas, like on anything where there's a chayiv kares b'meis. Obviously, if that's true of a mechuser kippurim, ain't tzarich lomar tfu yom. I mean, certainly somebody who is not only mechuser kippurim, but he hasn't even waited until sunset, and kosheken, someone who didn't go to the mikveh at all, v'shar kol hatmeim. So any level of tumah like this is still considered to be a chayiv kares in the knisa la'azorah. Now, how about people who are tahar? And these people who are tahar went beyond the place where they have a right to go. So, I mean, obviously, the right to go There are abundant rights to go, right? I mean, and Rashi is a little confusing because it sounds in Rashi like he's trying to say that there would be an Isra Lav with Malkus for a Yisrael to go outside of his Achadisrei Amos into the Ezras Kayanim and so on and so forth. But that isn't true because those distinctions, as the Rishonim point out, that this can't be what Rashi is saying. That because those distinctions are drabonan distinctions, and there are times where you do go in, and the Azor is filled with Yisrael, like it said Beferish. We had a number of Mishnayos like that. So it means, first we'll just tell you what your place is, like even including all the Takanas drabonan. And then in terms of understanding, the Lotase distinguishes between going into the Heichal, and going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then it also says El Pnei HaKaporet. So let's try to figure out what those three different places are. Because we have, you know, Bezot Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, and Al Yavo B'chol Eit El HaKodesh, Mi Beit LaParochet, El Pnei HaKaporet. Now, these are three different things, right? Yeah, I mean, the Pasuk is saying, El HaKodesh, and then you also have the Beit LaParochet, the El Pnei HaKaporet, but before that you have the Pnei HaKaporet, HaParochet, which is the Heichal. So, like, what are these three different things over here? I'm confused. So that is what I suggest is the difference, says Rav Chisda. Let's take a look at the Machlokas between the Chachomim and Reb Yehuda about how to understand that pasuk. So now, people that are tohar, and they went into a place where they're not allowed to go in, and they went anywhere into the Heichal, so LaHeichal Kulo, they would be chayiv Malkus Arboim from this lav, Al Yavo B'chol Eit Al HaKodesh is a lotase. So therefore, you went into the Kodesh. Okay? Now, how about if you went in to mi beit la parochet el pnei hakaporet? So there the end of the pasuk is v'lo yamutzu, right? So then that means there's a chiyuv of misa bidei shamayim that applies in a case with a knisa, not betuma, but just because you don't have business there. That is a chiyuv of misa bidei shamayim mi beit la parochet el pnei hakaporet. So now, Reb Yehuda says what this means is, because we've got three different things. So kol ha'echal kulo, anywhere in the heichal, or mi beit laparochet, and the mi beit laparochet means on the other side of the parochet, which means you walked in to the kodesh hakodashim, still the chiyuv is malkus arboim. But if you're standing el pnei hakaporet, if you're standing right in front between the badim of the orein, then you would be chayiv misa. So that means I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're not going to be Chayiv Misa unless you're Omed Mamish El Pnei HaKaporet. So he understands that the Mi Beit LaParochet is still part of the Kodesh. El HaKodesh, Lo Al Yavo B'Chaleit El HaKodesh, including Mi Beit LaParochet, which means you already went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then El Pnei HaKaporet, then V'Lo Yamutu. That's how he understands it. So according to Reb Yehuda, there's no chiyuv misa unless you're actually there, el pnei hakaporet. Whereas according to Chachomim, it's anywhere. Either mi beit laparochet, el pnei hakaporet, the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim is b'misa. That's the Tana Kama. So now, says Reb Chisda, I'm going to show you that if you understand the machlokas between Reb Yehuda and the Chachomim, then you will understand the machlokas between these two brightot about whether you have to be sprinkling, if it's not mechuvan, whether it would be kosher. Well, what does one have to do with the other? Well, take a look. The only way I see to understand the machlokas is it says in the pasuk, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Daber al Aharon Achicha v'ayavo b'chol eit al hakodesh mibeit laparochet al pnei hakaporet asher al Aharon v'lo yamut. So Rabbanan say, look, first it says, Ha'yavo b'chol eit el hakodesh. Okay, that's an Isser Lotase, Ha'yavo. So el hakodesh, which is the Heichal, that's an Isser Lav. Then it adds, mibeit laparochet al pnei hakaporet v'lo yamut. That's coming to Talmud. If you go any further, then either of those, either Mibet LaParochet, which is just on the other side of the Parochet, you haven't gotten close to the Oran, and El Pnei HaKaporet, you're going to be Chayav Misa. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. The way to read the Pasuk is, Ayavo El HaKodesh and Mibet LaParochet. And the Velo Yamutu is only at the very last part, El Pnei HaKaporet Asher LaAron Velo Yamut. But up until then, it's just Alotase, Al Yavo B'cholet. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, El HaKodesh Mibet Lo Parochet is below Yavo, and only El Pnei HaKaporet is Lo Yamut. What is the reasoning here? My time in Rabbanan. Because they say, look, it can't be what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, because if you would be putter from Misa by coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then why did it say the two separate things over here? It says El HaKodesh, and then it says Mibet LaParochet. Why does it need that? It should just say El HaKodesh and El Pnei HaKaporet V'lo Yamut, because the only Lo Yamut is the new edition of El Pnei HaKaporet, but there is nothing new in the Lo Ta'aseh about coming in to Beit LaParochet. So why did I mention it? V'lo Bo'eni Beit LaParochet. It's not adding anything. And I figured out myself that if you're chayiv just going into the Heichal and not going in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you're chayiv already a Lo Ta'aseh, so obviously if we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're chayiv a Lo Ta'aseh, and therefore the only way that I'd be chayiv Misa would be a Pnei HaKaporet. That's what it should have done. Well, why did it mention Mibet LaParochet? Because it's telling you that the moment that you go Mibet LaParochet into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you already chayiv Misa. That's the point. That's a good point. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say about that? Rabbi Yehuda, no. If the Torah had written Al Yavo El HaKodesh, and it wouldn't have said Mibet LaParochet, I would have thought the definition of El HaKodesh is Mibet LaParochet. It says, Ayavo El HaKodesh. I would have said that means don't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever you want to. That's all. I wouldn't have known there was a lav at all to going into the Heichal, and maybe there's no Isser. Avo Heichal, maybe lav nanivo. There's no Isser at all. So I need to know that the Kodesh is just the Heichal and not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because this way when the Torah says El Mibet LaParochet, so there's clearly two different levels. The Kodesh must be prior to the Beit LaParochet, and then comes the Beit LaParochet. That's why it said it. Says Rabbanan, that's ridiculous. You couldn't possibly have made the mistake of thinking that Ayavo B'chol Et El HaKodesh does not include the Heichal. Ahula Matzis Amrit, because it says Beferish in the Pasuk that the Heichal is called the Kodesh. It says, V'ivdila haparochet lachem bein hakodesh, u'bein kodesh hakodeshim. So if it says, Ayavo b'cholait el hakodesh, it's got to be referred to the same kodesh that the pasuk uses in defining what the parochet even is, where it is. So if Rabbi Yehuda, what he's saying over here, again, is that you're not chayev misa unless you're oimed mamish in front of the kaporet, so then why did we have to write Mibet LaParochet? You haven't explained it, Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, look, if what you're saying is true, so Lemakra, why wouldn't the Pasuk have said that you're Chayev Pnei? What's this business of El? I mean, El means that you're coming in, right? You should just say, you want to tell me that this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So say that the Mibet LaParochet, instead of saying El Pnei, you've already come in, Mibet LaParochet, Pnei HaKaporet. That's where the Pnei HaKaporet is. But when you're saying El, you're telling me you're getting closer, right? You're going closer up to the place where the Kaporet is. Okay, so then it has to be telling you, if you're telling me you'd be Chayav Misa even before I get that close, so then why are you telling me El Beit LaParochet? It must be that until you walked further, El, to that place, that you would not be Chayav Misa. Now, what that means is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it says the word El Pnei HaKaporet, it means specifically you walked all the way up directly to the Pnei HaKaporet, whereas according to the Rabbanan, it doesn't mean that. Because they say you don't have to walk up. It doesn't add anything to walk up. The moment that you walked in to Beit HaParochet, which is now the other side of the Parochet in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you'd be Chayav. That explains it all, says Rav Chisda. Because now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says El Pnei HaKaporet means you got to be standing right there. So that if that's the case, when it's said by the Pora Aduma, V'hizah el nochach pnei olamoed, that el nochach means precisely that location. You got it up right where it was supposed to be going. So if you didn't actually do the hazoya to that exact spot, so then the first brisa said, shalom chuvanot, if your sheva hazoyas were not properly aimed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you did not sprinkle that dam el nochach at all. Masha Enkin, according to the Rabbanan, the same way, look, you just saw the Rabbanan, don't take the El Pnei HaKaporet so precisely. It doesn't mean, it doesn't add anything, it's just saying El means that this is the place where that is. So if it doesn't mean El, meaning that you're approaching to it, so then if it's Lav Davka when it comes to the din of somebody who's Nichnas, in having nothing to do there, into the Kodesh, B'chol Eid, it doesn't mean anything there, so it doesn't mean anything here either, exactly. And therefore, when it says El Nochach, it doesn't mean exactly El Nochach. And therefore, if it's not Mechuvan, precisely, El Nochach, it's not going to be a problem. That's how I understand it. Says Rav Chisda, you can simply make it the two brises. One is going Alibi Rebuta, one is going Alibi Rabbanan.
Maybe I'm sorry. Did Rebbe explain the Muti Derech Meshupas and Zeh Bana'av?
Did I skip?
I think that Rebbe, instead of going for Rebbe Yehuda, my timeout went into the second part of the discussion. Because Rebbe focused on the El Pnei, etc. I think so we didn't do
Rebbe Yehuda, my timeout. What's that?
I think so, yeah. Well, I think the second wide line, Rebbe Yehuda, my timeout, we didn't work through that piece.
Oh, gosh, okay. You know, I did that, but all right. Rabbi Yehuda, my time is. Let's just go back and see that again. I'm sorry if I skipped it. It's certainly possible. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if what the Rabbanan said was correct, then the same tiny they had on me, I'd throw back at them. The Torah should simply have said, you're telling me the moment you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even if you didn't get anywhere near to the Pnei HaKaporet, you are still going to be Chayav Misa. So then just say that. Say El HaKodesh, which is into the Heichal, and that would be the Lav, and then say, Mi Beit LaParochet, anywhere inside, beyond the other side, V'lo Yamut. Why does it say, Mi Beit LaParochet El Pnei HaKaporet? I mean, that's crazy. I would know myself, Ana Amina. Look, if the moment you cross to the other side of the Parochet, and you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it already said V'lo Yamut, so then Kosher Kane El Pnei HaKaporet Mi Boy. Do I need to be standing right there in front of the Bein HaBadim? So why did the Torah even bother writing El Pnei HaKaporet? That's my argument to you. So therefore, it must be only El Pnei HaKaporet, which is B'misa. But Mi Beit HaParochet, and you haven't gotten yet up to the Pnei HaKaporet, that is still part of the Lav. Al Yavo is an Azara, it's not Misa. Rabbanan would tell you, you're absolutely right. You do not need those words to tell me about where you're standing. The reason that the Torah wrote El Pnei HaKaporet is to teach me the way in which you're approaching. You have to be approaching towards the Pnei HaKaporet. Suppose you came in some other way, so lema'ute derech mishupash. So let's say you came in through a side, came along the edge of the wall, and then you turn towards the Bein HaBadim. So there you would not be chayev, because you're only chayev where you're actually facing it. So you're only going to be chayiv, even if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're only being chayiv on the Knesset in the Kodesh HaKadoshim if you went in through the other side of the Porocha directly towards the Ben Habadim. But otherwise, if you managed to get in from the side, then you would not be chayiv. If you took the elevator down, you would certainly not be chayiv. That's not the derech. Even if afterwards you're standing there until you actually go there. That I agree on 100%. We agree with you on that. And that is actually Kedetana Devei Reb Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So just like it says in the Pasuk, Al Pnei Kaporet Kedma. So what do we have the Pasuk? Lakach Midam Hapar V'Yizabe Etzpa'o Al Pnei HaKaporet Kedma. What is the meaning over there, Al Pnei HaKaporet Kedma? Well, as Rebbe Eliezer says, what that means to tell me is, but it's a beautiful Rashi over here, by the way, it's, at least according to the Girsa. If you take a look at the Girsa in the Shita, that is, but back in the Girsa in Rashi, this is like the only place where Rashi gives a description. What is this strange meaning of a B'nai Av, right? Like, what does that mean? So Rashi learns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bana Av. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu built this as a model, right? So this becomes now an Av Tipus, so to speak. This is the model that Kol Makom Shenemar Pnei Eino Ela Pnei Kadim. It's coming to teach me a halacha, that where we find the word Pnei, it's always coming to tell me that you are have to be coming from the east, and therefore, if you did it some other way, so then that's not called Pnei. So your Pnei is that you're facing east to west. Okay. Anyway, so then says Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does it say the way you said it? It should just say, as we said, Pnei. Why does it say L? So the L has to be talking about that you're getting all the way up there. And that's when you're chayiv. And there, if you came in, you wouldn't be chayiv if you weren't going there. So anyway, if you, according to you, if once you come in anywhere in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you don't have to tell me that you went El it, because the El doesn't mean anything. And therefore, I'll just review the piece we did before already. Shema Amina, the El, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Dafka. And according to the Rabbanan, the El is Lav Dafka, as it turns out. And therefore, we can answer the two brises. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, El Pnei HaKaporet is Dafka, so by the Pora Aduma, when it says, the Sheva HaZoyos V'Yizol Noichach, that's also Dafka. And according to the Rabbanan, who hold that it's Lav Dafka, so then the second brisa is telling us it's not going to, if it's Eino Mechuvanot, it's not going to be Ma'akev, because it doesn't have to be. And you don't have to sprinkle that dam directly to the mamish to get it a laser accuracy. As long as it's in the general direction, that would be fine. Matke Flor of Yosef. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the word El is Dafka, so then the word Al should also be Dafka. And then what we said before, Al, You brought yourself the pasuk of Al HaKaporet, you said, right? Al Pnei HaKaporet is where you're supposed to be doing the Zrika of the Dam on Yom Kippur. But what if there isn't an Al Pnei HaKaporet? You see, if you're telling me that it doesn't mean mamish to take it literally, okay, so if there's no aura in there, so you just sprinkle it in that direction. But if you're telling me that it means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it means precisely. Well, what are you doing in the second base of Mikdash when there was no Aron? How can you possibly sprinkle it precisely Al if he's telling me that when it says El, you have to be going directly to the actual Kaporet? So bring the Sheni de lo havi Aron the Kaporet. So what are you telling me? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, we wouldn't do the Azoz? I mean, come on. I mean, half of the Maseches Yuma is about the Hazoyas that we're doing at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and what to do when there's no Orain, so fine, you know, Evanais, Hashama, Mimois, etc., etc. So something's wrong, Omar Rabba Barula, no. That's because there's a special pasuk to be marbe, that even if the Orin isn't there, that the Mokaim has that Kedusha. Where is that? Because it says, V'chiper et Migdash HaKodesh. What do you mean, Migdash HaKodesh? V'chiper es HaKodesh. So Migdash HaKodesh implies that there is a place which is the Migdash for that which is Kodesh, namely the Aron HaBris. But that's where you're supposed to be sprinkling it to. It's not that it's a function of the actual Mokka, of the actual Aron, but rather the Mokum of the Aron. So it's there for a Mokum. I'm a Kodesh, La Kodesh. See, even though Rabbi Yehuda would have said that El or Al is actually very literal, and it should be directly on that surface, in this case, since the Torah said Beferish, that it's the Mokum, then it has to be the Mokum. But Benogea, the Paraduma, what we said, still makes absolutely good sense, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Since the Nochach is literal, so then it's literal even when it comes to the Paraduma. So I think we can still stick with my Teretz. No problem at all, says Rav Chista. And the extra pasuk of Mokom, Mekudesh, Lekodesh, which we learn out, the Kiperes Migdash HaKodesh, that is the reason we don't need the actual or in there. Rava Amar, Rava says we don't have to make it a machlokes. No problem. Both of the brises, the one that says that if it's ena mechuvanot, that it's pasul, and the other brisa that says if it's ena mechuvanot, it's still kosher, they could both be going on libe rabbanan. And how does it work? It's very simple. Are you sprinkling in the general direction? If you're sprinkling in the general direction, so we said according to Chachamim that that would be kosher. So the second brisa is talking about that the kohen is standing facing the ma'arav with his back towards the Mizrach, and he's sprinkling in the correct direction. So he's aligned with the Pesach at the Ohel Moed. Masha Ein Kein, the Braita, the first Braita that it says, if it's Einam Mechuvanais, that there it's possible, just like if it's Shalom Lishma, that's talking about where the Kohen is not even positioned in the right line. He is Koi Tzofein V'Dora in V'Ade. He is sprinkling while he's standing on a north-south line. So how could that possibly be kosher? That is shalo bichlal shalo keneged, the Ohel Moed. So that is, we don't have to get on to making it a machlokes tanoim between the two brightas, and everything would be fine. I think we should get to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael, even though it's a little late. Would you go along? Okay. Omar Mar, now, you happen to mention in that bright that it was talking about the Mechuvan and so on. I just want to make sure I understood that part. You were Mechalik between the Paraduma and between the Hazoyas that are done for the Bitzera or the Hazoyas that are done Bifnim in the Heichal. You said Shalom Lishman is possible, but Shalom Mechuvan is kosher. Now, I know there's another Braita that says even if it's Shalom Lishman, it's kosher. It says, Bein Shalom Lishman, Bein Shalom Mechuvanot, it's kosher both ways. So now we have another contradiction in the Brice in the other direction about the issue of Shalom Lishman, not about the issue of Shalom Mechuvanot. Well, that's simple, says Rabbi Yosef. I mean, obviously, we know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that we take a look at the Asham and we learn it out from the Chatas, Ki Kechatata Asham, remember, that's his big drasha. So if a Chata Shalom Lishma is possible, then an Asham Shalom Lishma is possible. Masha Inkein, the second brisa that says even Shalom Lishma is kosher, according to the Rabbanan, because it doesn't possible. Rabbi Eliezer, the Makish Asham Lechatas all over. We had this all the way back at the beginning of Zvachim. That's his big yesod, that if something is possible by a Chatas, it's possible by an Asham as well. So then he would also include in that the Luke Shemin, that was the seven Azarias we're talking about, were seven Azarias of the Luke Shemin that we sprinkled towards the Heichal before putting them on the body of the Mitzvah. So he also would say, well, if the Asham Shalom Lishma is Ma'akim, then the Lug Asham and the Shemen Shalom Lishma would be Ma'akim. Masha Inkin, according to Rabbanan, they don't have this whole idea of being Makish Asham Lechatas, and according to them, Lo Makshe, so obviously there'd be no problem of doing it Shalom Lishma. Hold on a minute. That doesn't make sense. Because even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you only know that the Orsham is compared to the Chatas from a Hekesh, right? So a Dover Halobed Behekesh cannot teach you something else, that it's coming from the Hekesh, which is the Hekesh of the Lord Shemen to the Orsham. So I agree that, yes, Benogea, the Dam, it would certainly be true, but this bright is not talking about the Dam, it's talking about the Shemen. It's talking about the Sheva Hazoyas. The Sheva Hazoyas were done with the Lug Shemen Shomet Zorah. How would we learn out the Lug Shemen Shomet Zorah from the fact that the Shemen is compared to the Asham? Remember, Ein HaLamad Choser Umalamed. That was like our big yisod that we've gone through all the variations. Remember back in Zvachim, we went through every different type of thing, and we ended up saying that a Dover HaLamed BeHekesh is not Melamed BeHekesh. So you, and it looked good, but it doesn't work according to Rabbi Eliezer either. So how do we explain the contradiction in the Braitot? Ela Amarava, the truth is, both Braitot, according to the Rabbanan, make perfectly good sense. We're talking about two different things over here. One is Benogea, the Hechsher of the Shemen itself. Remember that after you do the Sheva Hazoyas, and you put it on the Mitzora's ear, and so on and so forth, there's a Bohen Yadoi, Bohen Raglai. So what does it say about that Korban that's included in the Chof Dalet Matnais Kehuna, which it says Beferish in Kerach? Ze yelecha mikodesh hakodashim min ha'esh, and kol korbanam lochol minchatam lochol chatatam, and kol korbanam we darshan, and we're going to see more about it later, but it's much later, but we're going to see that we darshan that includes Lug Shemen Shomet Zorah as one of the Chof Dalet Matanais. So now the question is it going to be kosher for the Kohen to eat if we did it shelo lishma? Yes, that is fine. So the second braita that says shelo lishma is kosher? Absolutely, it is kosher. But if you're talking about, will it also allow the mitzora to have been now mituhar as if he brought his korban? No, because shelo lishma is a general rule. Ela shelo alu l'ba'alim l'shem chovah. That's true in all the korbanos. And therefore, since the mitzora has to bring this for his own purposes of becoming tor from his tzaras, and it wasn't oila to him, so how is it going to help him? So there's no question. One bright is talking about achila, and one bright is talking about that the hira of the mitzvah, the hakol sharir v'kayom. Excellent, everyone. Sorry for keeping you so long, but we did a good job getting ahead a little bit, and looking forward to seeing you bezrat Hashem tomorrow. And with all of the brachas of Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad, including the Bias Elio Mikorov. Take care, and Bezrat Hashem, meet you in the morning. We've got some fascinating sugyas coming up, really beautiful kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. Don't miss tomorrow, Richie, or you won't be able to build yourself a menorah when the time comes. Take care.